You are listening to Smile Politely Radio on WEFT 90.1 FM, Champaign, Illinois.
That gentleman you just heard is correct. You are listening to Smile Politely Radio on WEFT 90.1 FM, or if you're a big podcast fan, you're listening on your computer / iPod / all of those sorts of things. The reason you can do that is because Smile Politely Radio is your handy-dandy portable audio companion to all things Shambana, and of course, Champaign-Urbana's premier online website and magazine, SmilePolitely.com. Visit SmilePolitely.com to find out how you can be a part of the radio show and contribute articles and stories about what's going on in your neck of our Twin Cities. Check out all the details and more there. Maybe we'll even let you come into the studio. However, today, we already have our guests lined up for the show. We're going to hop in the time machine and head back just a little. Not too far, I think. Just a little ways. We're going to go back to a time when there was some very interesting and very serious rock and roll going on live right here in Champaign-Urbana. We're going to head back to the period of 1978 to 1981 when there was a band right here rockin' town called The Rave, and I have Garrett and Herb from the band in the studio with me. Thank you guys for being here this week.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Much appreciated you guys taking some time out to come in. And the first things first, I'm sure there are some folks who are wondering, possibly, what you guys are doing back in Champaign and what you're doing on the radio right now. Let's let me start by having you guys introduce the band and talk a little bit about when you guys were active in the scene and sort of what was going on then and what brings you back to us now.
Well, we started in 1978, and there's four members of the band. There's our songwriter, Lyle Diamond, who's also the master of the bass guitar. We have right here next to me, Mr. Garrett Double Osteich, the Werewolf of Woodstock, who is the plays the lead guitar. Tommy Domino, the beat that never stops, our drummer, and me, Herbert Terton, the guy that really never learned how to play, but I faked it pretty good.
Fake it till you make it.
That's right.
That's always been my motto. So, talk a little bit about how you guys got together and what the night and day difference for people, you know, even myself, from what things were like in terms of the local music scene then and what they're like now. Talk a little bit about what it was like playing live then, how the band came together, and then some of the early shows that you guys did.
Champaign back then was, started in the late 60s, actually, and through the 70s, early 80s, where there was a lot of bands that were playing just professionally. I mean, that's what we all did. What we did for a living. There was enough gigs locally and around the state and the states and the region. And so it was quite the an ongoing thing with the recording studios, the booking agents, all the clubs. And so there was a lot of really bands playing. So it was a great opportunity to try and stretch out and to develop. And if you wanted to do some original music. And I'd been playing in a couple bands with Mr. Lyle Diamond, and we decided around the 78 period that we just kind of wanted, the way things were going with the disco and stuff that was mm-hmm. there and some of the other things in the music scene, we thought we'd try and do something that just had a little bit different approach to it.
Okay.
And I think it kind of came from wanting to just do things just a little bit differently.
We decided that there were too many posers out there, people on stage they thought they were rock stars, and here they are playing in the Midwest, you know, in a little college town, and we thought it was ridiculous. So I actually joined the band. I was their roadie for about a year, I think,
right,
before I joined the band. And I think I joined the band as comic relief.
Uh-huh.
I ended up being the front man for a rock band, and I had never really played professionally at all. And here I am playing with Garrett Osteich, who's like this god of guitar from the Finchley Boys, which is a band that was super famous around this area. So for me, it was like a kid in a candy store. I mm-hmm. couldn't believe it. But mm-hmm. but we had a blast, and more importantly, I think our audiences had a good time.
Sure.
And that's what I think. You know, if you went to see The Rave in 1979, you were going to have a good time.
How important was sort of the stigma or the aura of battling the scourge of disco when you put the band together and we're playing.
Well, it worked
here.
Real good for us because yeah. we used it, you know, strategically in our presentation. You know, we had death to disco and all that. Everybody reacted to that very positively. Mm. That was quite. Plus, at the time we were the Iranian hostage crisis was going on. We used that as well. We had
rock
some,
and roll to save the world.
Yeah,
right?
We can't repeat this on the air what we said on stage, but it was pretty pretty compelling.
Interesting.
Well received.
And well received. Right. Right.
What were the crowds like for you guys playing live? You mentioned that they were having a good time, but what was it like playing in the venues here at that point in time and being an alternative to sort of some of the poser acts that you mentioned, or disco, which was very popular still at that point.
And I think people came out and still wanted to be involved like they were in some of the other forms, but actually come out and just kind of get into the feel of the music that we were doing. And it just, I don't know how to describe it. They just kind of came and reacted very positively to either get out on the dance floor or if they're just sitting watching. Well, actually, not too many people sat. They'd mostly be standing up and yelling, usually at one of the two of either one of us. Fortunately, mostly I think it was positive, the yelling and carrying on that was going on, you know. But I think we interspersed things as Herb mentioned. Tom was the beat that never stopped, so it's almost like once a set started, you had to catch your breath before he was done playing.
We hardly ever stopped in between songs. Each song kind of rolled into another, and kept the energy level high.
Yeah, and so we'd kind of wear the crowd out a little bit, but we interspersed it with some, you know, well-known some songs, and then of course we wrote a lot of our own material.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. The thing about back then that is kind of lost on people now is that the thing I remember is that any night of the week, Monday, you could go out and see live music.
Yeah.
There were at least two clubs in town where they'd have live music, like Panama Reds had live music every day of the week, and Red Lion, they were famous for having live music every day of the week. So there was a lot of work for musicians back then and a lot of opportunities for people who liked live music to go see it. It was great.
Very cool.
It was a great time.
Very cool. When you guys were, you mentioned that there were some cover songs, of course, as any band starts out, you know, fresh and plays sort of what's familiar. But as you were writing your own songs, what were some of the inspirations that, some of the acts that were, I don't know, motivating the style or just some stuff that you brought from your own personal love of music that came into the band?
One level, there was like we actually did a couple Rolling Stone kind of songs, or you know, some songs actually from the 60s a bit that just we kind of re-energized. They're not on the recording or anything of the this, but that's kind of where there was some of this older style thing that we added a newer beat. Some of the songs were actually slow songs that we did, a fast versions of. So there was a little bit of this bringing this. Some music from the mid 60s in that
we were influenced a lot by bands that had a melodic component, you know. Obviously, you know, it's easy to say the Beatles, but you know, I know Garrett was influenced by the Yardbirds back in the day, and our songwriter Lyle, who's just a genius, by the way, is you know, he liked the Birds and a lot of the older 60s bands like that had a lot of harmonies and melodic component to them.
Sure. That brings us to what's going on with the band recently, which is the CD that Parasol just put out, a recording. We talked a little bit about this off air, but this is a recording from a live show recorded September 1979 at the Red Lion, which is a venue they mentioned right here in Champaign. Talk a little bit about first when this was recorded and then how it finally came to be in terms of distribution to people.
Well, it was a Saturday night at the Red Lion. Mm-hmm. So that was like magic right there. You know, all you got to do is say Saturday night at the Red Lion. Our roadies had plastered the town with placards. We had a co-promotion deal with a competing radio station here in town.
No, we don't have any competition. That's all
right. Right. And we had done a co-promotion deal with them, and we we did our own radio ads. And,
okay.
And so it was a pretty special night, and all the kids were back from vacation.
Yeah, September.
So
that would have been perfect
timing. They were all
timing.
Back in town wanting to have a good time, and, you know, we decided that tonight was the night to record it. And we also did video, which is a little rarer. We're having trouble finding the video, but we found the tapes.
One tape.
We found the tapes.
Finally
from,
found the tapes.
Yeah, found the audio tapes and mixed it down. And I was shocked at the quality that was still there. And we, thanks to Mark Rubel of Pogo Studios here in town, we were able to come up with a little piece of history. And it's pretty amazing the way it turned out.
Excellent. Before we get into the difficulties of bringing this live performance back to reality, let me play a track from the album again. This is available. This is it's called The Rave Live at the Red Lion. The show is from September 79. The CD is available as we speak through Parasol Records. Check that out.
And also at iTunes, Amazon, and theraveband.com.
All digital.
Shameless plugs.
Digital distribution as well. And, yeah.
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp, for that matter.
Yeah.
Get it any way you can. So track one we're going to play off the CD is called Mother. This is, again, The Rave Live at the Red Lion from September 1979 on Smile Politely Radio, WEFT in Champaign.
Mother, be my love.
That is The Rave, live at the Red Lion, September 1979, right here in Champaign, and you're listening to Smile Politely Radio. I, in fact, am fortunate enough to have two of the guys from the band in the studio with me to talk about the recording. And before we played that track, you were talking a little bit about Mark Rubel doing the work to sort of bring this recording back to life. And we were talking off air before the show started about some of the difficulties that were encountered and what, you know, with, for lack of a better phrase, what took so long to bring this live recording out in distribution for folks.
What do you
folks.
Mean? It was only 33 years.
I know. It's a drop in the bucket in the grand scheme of things, sure.
One thing that got us started that was kind of fun was that 6 years ago, just about already, some folks had gotten together and put on the 40th anniversary of the Red Lion.
Okay.
And so there was a big downtown here. There was a 3-day event, you know, with lots of bands. And so we said, okay, well, all right, we hadn't played in 26 years, but So we actually brought the band, we got back together.
Dust off the guitar.
And played a one-hour set. And afterwards, Mark, we've known Mark forever, and he was just running around.
And we blew the doors off the joint, by the way.
it was well-received that Saturday. It was pretty cool. Mark goes, man, I sure wish there'd been, you know, a chance that we'd ever worked together and done anything. Is there... You know, boys, you guys got anything? What you got anything laying around or what's up? And we said, if we could ever find him, we actually recorded live at the Red Lion. And so to kind of segue then from there with some difficulty trying to really recover the master tapes, we did get them and got together with Mark and made the first attempt at getting them transferred over to digital.
Sure.
To his system over there.
Right. So, and then there was even some wrangling after they were found and originally...
Yeah, well, we couldn't find a tape machine. It's one of those format deals. We couldn't find a recorder to play the tapes back on. Mark found one that was close, but not quite close enough. And so we kind of had to start over again when he found the right processing gear. And then that tape machine went down. And then, you know, it was kind of... it was, let's just say that many, many months went by just to get it to the point where we could start mixing.
Right. Right. And but here it is. I mean, it's here finally. Quality is fantastic. We just played the first track, Mother, from the CD. And
yeah, it's amazing how well it came out after all these years. I was very surprised by it. It took us a little while to mix it because we all have straight jobs. And so we could only mix it on the times we had off, you know.
You guys, Thursday
at 6:30, we'll go down there.
You guys aren't still making a living just playing shows here in town?
No, I hear that's kind of tough these days.
Not a lot of venues.
Yeah. No, there's a. I will say it's growing, but yeah, I don't. No. What I mean, what would you compare nowadays? Sort of the availability of spaces for local bands to play versus what
it was
then.
There's a lot of places. I've got some friends of mine that play. My next door neighbor's in a jazz band. We just saw him at the Cowboy Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's. I think there's a lot of places. I think it's just harder. I think it's just harder to kind of make a living, so to speak, at it. You know, things have changed so much than they were in 79 and even before that. In the back then, let's face it, there was no YouTube videos, there was no MTV.
Right.
If you wanted to see music and actually not see it lip sync where a guy was pretending to play the guitar and sing, you had to go to a concert, you had to go to Chicago, New York, LA, Indianapolis, you had to go somewhere. Maybe they'd come once in a while to the assembly hall, but that's why going to see bands live was so vital and important, I think.
Sure.
Because if you wanted to see it and really hear it, you went, you didn't, it wasn't on HDTV on Palladia channel.
Right.
So, I mean, which is very cool stuff.
Right.
You went out to the clubs and you watched the bands and there was tremendous support. And I do think there's a growing in the community again. There's lots of venues. It just makes it tougher. I mean, back then there was lots of people who were full-time road crew guys that ran sound and lights and traveled with all of his bands.
Sure. So. Sure. And let's do another one while we're at it. I'll play another track. This is track number 8. So let me do my count here.
Closed doors.
There it is. Yeah. You beat
another
me to
Lyle
it.
Diamond.
Another Lyle Diamond original.
Closed Doors is the name of the track, and this is track number 8 from The Rave, live at the Red Lion, available now on Parasol Records, Amazon, iTunes, you guys mentioned.
Bandcamp.
Got
and
it
the,
online.
TheRaveBand.com.
And the band's own website, TheRaveBand.com. Check all of that out. Look it up. Write it down. We're going to play track number 8 right now on Smile Politely Radio.
This next song is called Closed Doors.
chosen to stay inside. We're going for a ride. We're leaving you here. I don't want to hear you say we're wasting our time. Life is such a crime.
Live at the Red Lion, Closed Doors, the name of that track. That's track number 8 from the CD that just came out by that same name, The Rave, Live at the Red Lion. Local rockers and a local show, September 79. Finally available for people to listen to and either relive if they were there at the show or enjoy for the first time.
Buy 3 copies. That's what our advice is.
For past, present, and future,
right,
basically.
Exactly.
Yeah,
just
no, I like
for one for posterity.
That's exactly right. Leave one in the plastic. It'll be worth money. Just
that's
like,
right.
You know, good stuff. We were talking a little bit off air about there's a bit of an Easter egg at the end of the album. I'm going to call
there's
it an Easter egg.
There's more than one.
Yeah.
There's more than one Easter egg on this recording.
I'm going to call it an Easter egg anyway. What? Tell the folks who haven't heard it yet or who are going to hop online and listen to this
the
later.
The last song of the night we were playing, and it's a song I wrote called Blue Crusties, Don't Ask. But it's kind of long, and there's some shenanigans that go on through the middle of it. And Mr. Mike Wilkie, who was nice enough to help us record the evening, he didn't realize the song was like 12 minutes long because there's like a narrative that goes on in the middle of it and whatnot. So anyway, at the very end of the song, the tape ran out. And so we listened to it 40 times and we just couldn't decide what to do with it. And we finally just said, well, we'll just let the tape run out. So the very end of the CD, the tape runs out. That's the end of the CD.
That's the surprise ending.
That's the surprise ending.
You can actually
hear
it.
Yeah.
I like that you left the effects in, too. That's the full experience, like, you know, show's over kind of.
Yeah, that's what it was.
There are some songs because tape, you know, didn't didn't run that long, right. Record for that long. So there's actually some other songs that we would have liked to include, but they just, the tape ran out in the middle of those songs.
Really? Yeah. When it was done. So what can you do, right?
He was standing right, Mr. Mike Wilkie was standing right there, ready to pop a new reel of tape. I only had 4 reels of tape to make sure we caught every second.
Those will be available on YouTube as bootlegs, rave bootlegs later.
Yeah. They'll be making the rounds on eBay too as collector items, no doubt. So the CD again, the rave live at the Red Lion, and this is available
in Champaign, Illinois.
Recorded right here at where was you know what I'm going to ask, and I'm going to admit my own ignorance in this particular case. Where was the Red Lion?
Third and Green.
Third, it's heart of campus.
Kitty corner from the Steak and Shake.
There you go.
It's actually been reopened within the last year or so, and they're calling it the Red Lion.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
But there's no live music, and it's not really the Red Lion.
No,
it's
not
really not the Red Lion Inn.
Right.
Not like it used to be. What was the, for this particular show that's on the recording, what was the crowd like? How many people do you think you had jammed?
It was a full packed house, probably close to 350 people. It was mostly students. You know? Of course, they'd just come back from vacation.
Right, it was exactly the right time to do the show.
Exactly, yeah.
We played in December.
A lot of good-looking girls out in the audience.
Who would have thought? Yeah. You don't see that a lot.
That December, 3 months after that when we played, that set the record of attendance for all time at the Red Lion. All
right. Beating even REO Speedwagon, by the way.
You guys beat out the wagon?
We beat out the wagon. You betcha.
Let's see. Who's making more money?
Yeah. Well,
it depends on...
We didn't beat them in that department, but... We beat them in heads.
Depends on how they invested. See, you guys could probably still be coming out on top on that deal.
Those
so,
guys are doing good.
I've got Garrett and Herb here. Thank you guys once again for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
The Rave.
This is great.
Yeah. And talk about real quick. The band's website is
theraveband.com.
Head over to the website. Check out the Rave on Bandcamp if you want to sample the album. You want to check out what's going on with this recording. You can order it through Parasol right here in town, of course. You can also do Amazon and iTunes, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, we'd like to thank the guys at Parasol and Adam for doing the mastering. Adam Schmidt did that.
Outstanding work.
And Mark Rubel at Pogo Studios, right around the corner from this studio.
And excellent work from Mark, of course, as always, too. Again, check out theraveband.com and get your hands on this. This is sort of a big piece of local rock history.
Champagne live
think.
Music history.
Yeah, this is really something, and terrific for you guys to be on the show. Again, I thank you. Thanks for bringing in the recording so we could play a couple of tracks for people too.
Thanks so much.
Much appreciated. That's going to wrap up Smile Politely Radio for this week. Make sure you tune in each and every Friday at 5:30 right here on WEFT 90.1 FM in Champaign. And if you missed any or all of the show this week, or any week for that matter, head over to smilepolitely.com.